2. Stock options. In the time it took to blink, the office was gone and I was in the realms. Taking stock of my newly acquired in-game body, I realized I was on one knee with both hands on the ground on either side of my front foot. It had a very robot from the future sent back for the ultimate cockblock vibe to it. Wait a fucking minute, I thought to myself when I noticed the leather gear I was wearing. I wasn't wearing this before. Where did it come from? I can answer that, sir, came Alfred's voice as he was suddenly standing beside me. Oh yeah, he's here, I thought to myself, although I guess it was thinking to him too. That I am, sir, he said, once again responding to my thoughts. Having a psychic AI with me would take a while to get used to. So, where did the threads come from, Alfred?
System-assigned starting gear for a rogue, sir, came his very simple explanation.
It made sense, I guess, but some choice would have been nice. From what I could tell, it looked like basic clothing with a boiled leather chest piece that just barely protected my vital organs.
Now, I suggest we go introduce ourselves to some NPCs to get you started, he instructed, shifting gears.
Alfred, how do NPCs interact with you? I asked, not sure how to handle bringing him around with me talking to NPCs and fighting monsters.
No one can see or hear me except you, sir, he said. Additionally, no one can physically interact with me and vice versa. Also, no one can see your side of our interactions. It is happening, as you might say, in your head.
Well, that was good to know. I assumed it was the same for all players, so that none of us would look like we were talking to imaginary friends. If that were the case, I think I'd have gone with Fred instead of Alfred. I thanked him for the clarification right as we got to the gate.
Welcome to Gnome Theron, adventurer, the guard exclaimed with a welcoming smile. We were told to expect your kind to start appearing, but I never expected to see a human in the gnomish lands. Anything I can help you with?
I know gnomes are friendly, but I really didn't expect such a warm welcome considering I'm a human and a rogue, I said, somewhat shocked, in an aside to Alfred.
Rogue does not equate to thief or criminal in this world, sir. And as for his question, I'd suggest looking for someone you can begin your training with.
I followed Alfred's suggestion and was rewarded with my first quest in the realms. Rogue 1. Objective. Find the Gnome Theron Weapon Master and request training. Reward. 50 XP. Starter weapons. Accept, yes or no.
That's a no-brainer, I supposed.
Yes.
Well, looks like for the training you require, you'll need to talk to Elle over at the Proving Grounds. I'll mark where she is on your map. She's easy to spot and down, but remember if things start exploding around you, you went too far.
I thanked the guard and made my way into town. Not sure if he heard me, though. He was still laughing at what I'm hoping was a joke.
Explosions?
What the hell, Alfred?
Gnomes are notorious tinkerers and artificers, sir. There's likely a designated area for the gnomes to test new inventions safely.
Tinkerers and artificers? Interesting. As I approached the spot marked on my map, I stopped and leaned against a training dummy and looked around. I quickly realized just how easy L was to spot. What the fuck's an elf doing here? A near instantaneous 180-degree pivot on her part made me suddenly aware of the fact that I'd said that out loud. Oops. Before I could have ever reacted, a throwing dagger flew from L's hand and embedded itself in the head of the training dummy, about 6 inches away from my own head. When I looked over, it was buried 3 inches into the solid wood head on the dummy. How did she have that much power and speed?
That is what the fuck I'm doing here, human, she said with a smirk.
I looked from her to the dagger and back to her, and she just raised an eyebrow as if waiting on a response. It occurred to me then that I was supposed to be trained by her. As my mind filled with countless terrifying hypothetical scenarios involving elvish torture disguised as training, Elle sized me up for a few moments before doing something I never expected her to do. She started laughing. I'm not sure if you could call it a belly laugh, because she had nothing resembling a belly, but it was certainly heartfelt. Realizing the laugh was at my expense washed away any previous fears and replaced them with embarrassment and a slight hint of anger. I felt my face begin to flush from the emotion, and she must have seen it as well.
I'm sorry. No need to get too hot over it. I just couldn't help but mess with you, she said with her hands up in a placating gesture. It's always fun to see how adventurers react to things like that. Yesterday a gnome pissed himself. The memory was clearly a favorite of hers as she started laughing all over again. Seeing as it was apparently all in good, harmless fun, and I clearly was going to be relying on her for training for now, I patiently waited on her to get the laughter out of her system and wipe away the few tears starting to form in her eyes. Thankfully, it gave me an opportunity to prod Alfred for info.
Alfred, why did she say adventurers like that?
In-game lore refers to players as adventurers. Unfortunately, I cannot give much more information than that regarding world lore, as you have not uncovered more of it yourself, came his explanation.
So what you can tell me is limited?
That's unfortunate.
I was torn between my disappointment I couldn't find out now and my hatred of spoilers.
Yes, sir, and I do apologize for the inconvenience. Allowing guides to tell players everything about the lore would discourage them from discovering this information for themselves, he continued.
It did make sense from a design perspective.
Fair enough. Looks like Elle is almost done with her laughing fit. Thanks, Alfred.
My guide nodded in response, and I returned my attention to Elle. So, if you're still wondering why exactly an elf is providing training in a gnomish village, the answer is easy. If you want someone to be good, have them trained by someone who's great, she said, answering my unasked question. And with that philosophy in mind, the local gnomes hired me to train both their guards and any incoming adventurers in the use of weapons.
Glad to see I'm training under someone with a firm grasp on humility, I responded with a smirk. Not sure if sarcasm existed in medieval fantasy settings. If it didn't, I honestly didn't know how I'd survive this adventure.
Oh, don't worry. I can teach you plenty of humility if you plan on keeping the smart-ass comments up like that, she fired back with a wink. Now, if you're ready to have the sarcasm beaten out of you, we can get started training. First, take a look at the weapons on the table over here and see if something catches your eye.
Update. Rogue 1. Choose your weapon.
Why wasn't this part of creation? Why wait till now?
To allow players the opportunity to test weapons for themselves in the actual game world, came his response. Each weapon feels different, so it was decided that each player should try any weapon or weapons that may interest them before they choose their preferred style.
So our beginning selection determines what weapons we can use later?
Yes and no, he explained. Your initial selection determines what primary weapon skill you first receive training in. You can earn more primary weapon skills later, but you are required to use a trainer to receive them, and they may also be restricted by class and other factors. He paused before continuing. Secondary weapon skills can be learned as well to augment your combat abilities, but the methods through which you gain those are not the same as other skills. For example, as a rogue starting in the Kingdom of the Gnomes, you receive trick weapons and gadgets as bonus secondary weapon categories.
Interesting, but not important right now, I assume. Let's get started. After looking through the weapons laid out for the selection and testing everything Alfred suggested, I narrowed it down to a few options. Longsword, x2. Shortsword, x2. Dagger, x2. Longsword plus dagger. Rapier plus main gauche.
I tried going single weapon melee, but dual wielding just felt way more fun.
Unfortunately, two longswords together are just unwieldy. Two daggers felt like it just wouldn't pack enough punch early on, and the thought of fighting a heavily armored opponent with a rapier just felt like it wouldn't end well. The only option that appealed to me in the end was dual short swords. After I officially received my basic swords and placed the sheaths on my back in an X, I was about to head back toward L when she called over more instructions.
While you're over there, take a look at those secondary weapons. I hear that you adventurers can already use the secondary weapons designed by the locals of whatever town you first appear in, she said, and pointed towards another table.
Wow, these are some weird-ass weapons. As I approached the table, I noticed a nervous-looking gnome watching me from a short ways away. He was shaking whenever we made eye contact, and I honestly felt bad for the little guy. He seemed like he wanted to talk, but I was worried he'd have a panic attack if I approached him. Putting it on a back burner for now, I opted to look over the secondary weapons laid out in front of me. Most sounded overly complex, entirely situational, or just downright weird.
Mancatcher? What the hell is that?
Looking down at the weapon the name belonged to brought my attention to what looked to me like a pole with a spiky corset on the end that opened and closed somehow. I really thought it would be more self-explanatory.
Well, sir, the name does adequately explain the device's expected function,
Alfred deadpanned.
Is that British sass, Alfred? It's so dry, it's hard to tell,
Alfred continued unfazed.
Unfortunately, proficiency with this weapon is not automatic, as it does not fall under your bonus for starting in the gnomish region.
And why the hell not? It's on the table, isn't it?
I asked in frustration. I had no intention of using it, but it was the principle of the matter for me.
That is correct, sir. However, it is a weapon that relies on the leverage and weight of the wielder, which makes it a very poor choice for gnomes,
he explained, without cracking the slightest smile.
Oh, that is a fantastic mental image. Thank you for that.
Before he could respond, the shy, not a nasty gnome approached. What was it about this guy that lent itself to alliteration?
Hey, excuse me, sir. I noticed you didn't use a, shield-based style. If I may, I would suggest the arm crossbow.
I gave the gnome a bit of a blank stare before my guide pointed his super useful, invisible to all but me, hand to point out what looked kind of like a crossbow, but with no normal trigger and a series of leather straps underneath.
One dumb question avoided.
Picking it up and studying it gave me very little in the way of how to use it. On cue, a block of text popped up thanks to Alfred. I probably would have been angry about the pictures he decided to include, but honestly, they were so helpful, I didn't even care if he was being condescending. Interesting concept, but why this over anything else? Damage seems low, too. I could see the gnome lose what little steam he convinced himself he had. His determination almost wavered, but he took a deep breath and steeled his resolve.
From the scabbards on your back, you're focusing on a two-weapon fighting style, yes?
He said, finally finding the gumption to continue his spiel.
The arm crossbow provides you ranged capabilities without having to drop or sheath a weapon. As far as stats go, the new model is pretty mediocre, but it will help you start ranking up the skill.
He took another deep breath, and I had a feeling he was getting to the real reason he wanted to talk.
And if you can help me get my artificer class, I can make you a much better one.
Getting buddy-buddy with a player focused on crafting? This could go places. All right, bud. You got yourself a deal. The name is Jack All Trades. What's yours?
Nicola Nelson. But you can call me Nick.